God, you've made promises to each one of us. If we've not heard those promises, may you open ears and hearts to receive them today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, you'll have these two readings before you, references, 1 Samuel and then Luke's Gospel. And I commend them to you as a meditation this week, Hannah's song and Mary's song. Hannah was married to Elkanah. Hannah was barren, and that was a disgrace and a shame. Some of us carry both disgrace and shame with us. Some of us from childhood. It's like a familiar friend. God dealt with Hannah's shame, and may God deal with those things that have shamed us, some completely beyond our control. May God work in the deep places of our heart and soul and free us and bring us into a new place, even through the proclamation of the word, even through our fellowship together and sharing at this holy table. God wants us to become free up until the time, I believe, when we breathe our last breath on this earth, to continually experience greater and greater freedom, and with it, joy. Can you imagine being a barren woman in the time when barrenness was considered a curse, really, that you were not in God's favor? And to compound that, Elkanah had another wife, Peninnah, who bore him many children. And she would taunt Hannah. Can you hear it? In the back room, when they're doing work together, too bad you can't have children. Or, na 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 na, you don't have any children. This was a constant grinding on Hannah, and we can only imagine what it did to her. What it did to her soul and her heart. What it did to hope. And so she was pouring out her heart at the high place at Shiloh before the temple was built. And the priest there, Eli, thought she was drunk and gave her a little helpful teaching on why you shouldn't drink early in the morning. And then she taught him about devotion to God and told him that her heart was heavy and she was pouring out her heart to the Lord. Thankfully, he had ears to hear and asked God's blessing on her. And she bore a son named Samuel. She made a deal with God. How many of us have done that? God, if you can only get me out of this scrape. God, if you can only provide this time, I will fill in the blank. I'm not looking for a show of hands here. But some have made those prayers. First of all, are you able to follow through on your promise? It's never too late. That promise you made to God. Did God fulfill God's faithfulness? Did God provide? It's never too late to reconsider that. And if it's too great a burden, well, talk to God about that. Settle the accounts. Why not? Hannah said that she would dedicate Samuel from the time he was born to God's service. So can you imagine at the age of 3 or 4 making sets of clothing for your only child? Perhaps with tears, to bring him to the high place so that he could serve the Lord. The tearing of your heart, I cannot imagine that. And dropping the little boy off with these sets of clothes that would be appropriate for this service. I don't believe Hannah can rejoice in leaving her son. She knew that this vow she had taken, this Nazarite vow, Elizabeth also took that vow for her son, John, who would be John the Baptist, as Jesus said, the greatest prophet that the world ever knew. The other Nazarite vow that the other Nazarite that we know was Samson. They weren't to drink any juice from grapes, fermented or not. They weren't to cut their hair. There were other parts of that vow that both parent and child needed to keep. But Samuel was one. And Samuel led a renewal of the faith in Israel. This little boy had revelations and even reformed Eli, this priest that had fallen into unfaithfulness, and his sons who had fallen into disgrace. So God saw that the time was right to reform the worship of Israel, and he used a child. Do you hear any parallels? Of course, he used a child, Jesus, to save the nation. Mary and Joseph did not make a Nazirite vow because Jesus was God. There was no dedication of Jesus to God as there was with Samuel, as there was with Saul, with David, with Samson, because Jesus had no need to be dedicated to God. He is God. A profound wrinkle that sets the gospel apart. And yet there are these profound connections, these connections between these two women who, faced with unimaginable challenges, sang a song. I can only think, if I had the opportunity, and I wouldn't seek this out, let me say, but if I had the opportunity to overhear you in an unguarded moment singing your praise to God, singing a song to God. Let's say you happen to just hear someone doing that. You'd learn a lot about them, wouldn't you? And a lot about their relationship to God, this intimate moment of singing a song to God. Well, here we have these songs before us today, the song of Hannah and the song of Mary. My soul, my heart, this word nephesh in Hebrew, psuche in Greek, that's where we get the word psychology. It's this inner workings of our heart and soul. It's the place and the seat of where we're motivated. So it's in this place that Mary says, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord." This teenage girl had just been told that she was pregnant. She had not known any man. She had not had sexual relations, not even with her betrothed, Joseph. And it was like, what? What? How is this to be, since I have not known a man? She says to the angel. And then she says, "May it be to me according to your word." Wow. I love the fact that God gave Mary Elizabeth, her cousin who was barren and now was in her sixth month. What a great encouragement. Can you imagine? I can just see Mary putting her hands on Elizabeth's tummy, feeling the baby move, and say, "Wow, this is real, isn't it?" And she said, "Not only that, but when you greeted me, Mary, John leapt in my womb." There was a witness to Jesus by John, the prophet, even in the womb. I love this story that we're all a part of. It is profound. It's rich. And it's deep. And I wonder if Elizabeth reached over. Mary probably wasn't showing yet. We don't know. But Mary and Elizabeth were 3 months together, 6 months pregnant, and then plus three. The thing I can't figure out in the gospel account of Luke, who is a doctor, was why she left before the baby was delivered. I don't know why. There's no telling why. But it said that she returned home, Mary did, and then Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. What is your soul singing? What does your soul say to you or to perhaps those around you? Is it a song of anxiety and care? Of heaviness and burden? Well, may God speak to you today as he spoke to Hannah and to Mary. The comfortable words say, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, who are burdened, and I'll give you rest." So draw near to God today. Don't call the things that happened to you or that caused you pain good. Don't rejoice because of those things. I don't believe Hannah rejoiced at leaving her son at Shiloh, but she was able to rejoice in the Lord that she loved and knew. And so let's make that distinction. We do not call bad good. But in the midst of bad, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of hardship, we can rejoice in the Lord. Closing, I learned this prayer based on the Magnificat, based on Mary's interaction with Elizabeth from when I was a boy. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. If you didn't know, I grew up Roman Catholic. Now, some people reject that because they say Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother of Jesus, as it says in our collect. And people also reject that prayer because it says, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We pray to Jesus. We pray to God through Jesus. That's what Jesus taught us. But I believe some of us have rejected that and, in a sense, rejected Mary. We feel that Mary has been made too much of. And I would like to say, please rethink that. Please fall in love with Mary. Get to know Mary again, perhaps for the very first time, as she models this faithfulness, this steadfastness, courage and strength and vision. Tell out my soul. And then ask yourself, what's my soul broadcasting?